Hi, this is Dave McKagan, and you're listening to the True North Country Comics Podcast.
Welcome to a special edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. If you have a comment, criticism, or question, you can contact me at john@truenorthcountrycomics.com. Throughout the month of May, these podcasts are dedicated to the exhibitors who would have participated at the Toronto Comic Arts Festival 2020. TCAF is an annual event that celebrates independent, amateur, and professional comic book creators in an intimate setting supported by the exhibition, programming, and creator signings. On this episode, I chat with Dave McKaig. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Dave is an Inkpot and Schuster award-winning artist and colorist who is best known for his work in comics and animation. Some notable projects have included color design on the Batman animated series and coloring work on comics such as Superman Birthright, Next Wave, Lucifer, Low, and Fight Club 3. So without further ado, here's my chat with Dave McKaig.
Dave McKaig, thank you very much for taking time to chat with me.
Pleasure. Hi.
We've been meaning to do this for a long time, but I know that schedules and everything have been taking us off the map. But anyway, I appreciate your time now. So usually when I start the conversation, it's about first comic book. So I'm wondering if you remember, what was the first comic book you read?
That's tough because my dad collected comics when I was a kid. Yeah, he had a long box full of stuff like Classics Illustrated and some old like Superman and Batman annuals. Like I think he had Superman Annual 1. And so I flipped through all that stuff as a, you know, 5 or 6 year old. So they're not mint in box anymore.
But it was cool to read, I bet, eh?
Yeah, it was great. And then as a kid, my dad used to take me to the comic store. You know, it was like before the direct market really existed. So It was like a bookstore / comic store. That's and cool. Picked up things like Gru and, you know, Micronauts and things like that. So,
neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. So lots of good influences there, that's for sure.
Oh, sure.
Cool. Well, I wanted to ask you, as a colorist, you've been very busy working on titles like Conan, Batman, Superman, Low, Lucifer, and a whole ton of others. So my question is, how do you maintain a separate style for each title?
Well, you know, it's like there's studio musicians who play along with all sorts of different types of bands, depending on what genre comes into the studio. Like if you're playing bass, you might, if you're a studio musician, you might need to be able to play ska, or you might need to be able to play heavy metal, or you might need to be able to play whatever. And as a colorist, you need to be able to adapt your style to whatever artists you're working with, collaborating with. So working as a colorist, you need to be able to blend the sorts of things that are inherent to your look to the sorts of things that are their look. It's kind of challenging and exciting to do. Instead of it just being all you, you have to sort of play the notes that are missing and add your own flair to it.
Do you have to sit back a bit and, well, wait a second, I have to adjust this, that, or the other thing to make it work?
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work at all, and sometimes it works flawlessly. Sometimes you just step in and you're like, oh, I can't believe this. I'm done this page, and I didn't even have to blink an eye. And sometimes it's just a laborious, you know, trip through hell because you're just not – meant to work together. Not everyone is meant to work together. You know, it's a relationship. And our team is a relationship, and not all relationships work. So, yeah.
Cool. I was wondering, out of all these books you've been working on, do you have a favorite character that you like to color?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm really digging Lucifer.
Okay.
I think the art on that is really great. I love David Bowie, Lucifer, and it's just fun to work on. I've always liked working on Vertigo titles. I like the more sort of mature, not, you know, sexual overtones or anything, but like more of a drama type thing where you can put more emotion into the story or build a scene with more mood. It's fun. Cool. I really enjoyed working on Batman Superman. I just did a 2-issue arc on that with Nick Darrington, and it was really fun because it was like class. Like I was saying, as a kid, picking up Superman Annual 1 or whatever. It just fit in with that. Just clean, classic Superman Batman story. You know, it was really fun.
Good. Good to hear.
I like old school Superman. I like old school, like really clean cut PG style superhero stuff. And I like working on mature subject matter comics. And they're like the middle ground of that. I feel isn't as fun. I like the extremes.
What one end or the other? There you go.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. I also want to switch gears a bit and talk about the process for making art. Like I know you've seen, I met up with you at various conventions. You've always got a digital tablet on the go. So I'm wondering if you could walk me through what tools you use to create your art.
Sure. My home setup, I have a 16-inch MacBook Pro that's attached to a 24-inch Cintiq, and that's my main setup. If I'm going to conventions, I have that same 16-inch MacBook Pro, and I hook it up to my iPad Pro and use that as a digital tablet because I've got this dongle that attaches to the MacBook Pro called a Luna, which is made by a company called AstroPad. And while Apple now has software inherent to its newest operating system that allows the iPad to work as a graphics tablet, the response rate isn't good. So this thing called the Luna really speeds it up and makes it basically as fast as you ever need it to be. So it's perfect. It works flawlessly as a graphics tablet.
So you're noticing before there was some really bad latency trying to use the pencil with just the iPad Pro.
If you're using the iPad Pro as a graphics tablet connected to a laptop or some other Apple device, that creates latency. Because it's just transferring the information through the USB-C cable, or I don't know exactly what it's doing. But as far as I know, because I don't know what the technological background of the Luna device is, but I'm pretty sure it's a little video card that's like adding into the mix. So it just speeds everything up to the point where it's usable.
Cool.
And it's perfect. It's flawless. Although, you know, an iPad screen is like 13 inches, and I'm used to my 24-inch Cintiq at home. So while I'm traveling on the road, I feel a little squashed on that screen.
Yeah.
But working at cons, it's perfect because everybody can see what I'm working on. And it's pretty neat being able to do demos, especially when kids come by and their parents ask how this all works. And, I mean, you don't want to say, all you need to do is go spend $5,000 on computer hardware.
Well, if anything, it's certainly democratized the technology. Certainly, has democratized the ability for new creators to come along. They don't need to invest that much to get started. Right. Yeah.
Well, that's what I tell the parents. I'm like, hey, I'm working on this super expensive version of this, but that's because I'm a pro who's been doing this forever. But you can just go to like Amazon and order. There's a graphics tablet called an Intuos that you can get for $100, and that's all you need, as long as you have a laptop of some sort. And there's tons of free software you can use, or cheap software. So yeah.
And speaking of software, I noticed on Twitter you were having challenges with Photoshop, and that leads me to the question of what do you do when your tools fail? Because certainly, you know, it will happen at some point when you're trying a very important project. How do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're having this discussion in the middle of the coronavirus problem. So this is a little island of worst case scenario. The problem here is that Adobe introduced the newest version of Photoshop on the iPad, and it's garbage. And they know it's garbage. And so all of the software engineers at Adobe are focused almost exclusively on trying to fix this hot turd that they've got that nobody likes. And the main team working on the desktop version of Photoshop is sort of kind of half-assing it. I'm not going to name any names, but I know some people who have had ties to Adobe, and I've been told that, yeah, this is a known problem. The quality level of the software being put out right now is a known problem. And so I have problems where I'm working in Photoshop and I'm crashing 3 or 4 times a day. So I have to constantly save. I find that if I'm working on my Mac, if I switch between working in Photoshop to, I don't know, go to Facebook and try to do a private message or something like that, Photoshop will crash. So I have to save constantly. At least the saving grace in Photoshop is that it frequently auto-saves now. So I'll only lose like, I don't know, 20 minutes of work. And that's a problem if I'm doing it three times a day. Yeah. I don't really feel like losing a whole hour of work, but it could be worse. And there are things I could do. I could go back to an earlier version of Photoshop and use that. I guess I'm just stubborn or something.
And pardon my ignorance, but there's no other software you could use that would be complementary to this?
No. I mean, there is other software out there, but I know Photoshop. It's like, yeah, I know Photoshop. So I stick with Photoshop.
Right.
There's brushes that I use. Mm-hmm. For example, in Lucifer, there's a rake brush that I use that's very particular to Lucifer, and I don't know that I'd want to try to recreate that in another software suite. Mm-hmm. And Low, for example, that I work on, has a brush that Greg Ticini created that is specific to Low that I've used on every issue of the book. And I don't want to have to change that. So I can't. Yeah, I'm stuck with the brushes that I've got, so I kind of have to use Photoshop. But I could revert to an earlier version of Photoshop. Like I'm operating on Photoshop 2020 right now, and I could go back to Photoshop 2019, that would work fine.
So I guess this is a 21st century version of artists suffering for their art.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not suffering that bad.
Well, when you get a reboot, when you get to start from scratch or go back a couple levels, that can, as you said, it takes time, and you don't have so much time today.
This is me being stubborn. This is me just not wanting to revert back to the last version of Photoshop, which also still has all those brushes, so I could do that. This is me saying I should be doing that.
I hear you. Well, I have heard similar sentiment from others on Twitter, so you're not alone in that. But
I know.
I'm sure it'll get fixed at some point.
One day, six months from now, when everybody comes out from their little hole and sees if their shadow is falling in the right direction.
There you go. Well, also wanted to talk a bit about Low. You've been working on that for a very long time, and I know it's starting to wrap up. And mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on the series. For example, has it finished the way you first started? Like when you first started out, is it the same sort of goal? Did you see it ending this way, I guess, is the sort of shorter term?
I guess it had to. I don't want to reveal what happens at the
end.
This has always been a struggle of hope in the face of adversity. And, I guess readers are going to see if that pays off. it's great. I mean, I know what happens at the end, and I'm always really excited when I get a script from Rick, because they're so good. The scripts on this book are so good, and the art's so amazing. It's so interesting working on this book, because it's such – a laborious book. These pages take, like, I color a lot of comics. Normally it takes me about a week to color a comic, but Low takes like 3 weeks. That's hard to fit in, especially because Greg just kind of draws the book when he turns them in whenever. Schedule be damned. Like I was checking out my invoicing, and it turned out that I turned in issue 23, a couple weeks ago. And I invoiced for it this week, and I realized that my last invoice for the book was like a year and a week ago.
Oh my!
So, yeah. There had previously been a 9 month wait between books, and that was the longest between for a while. But now suddenly, because it's at the end, I finished 23. I'm working on 24 right now. 26 is the final issue, and I mean I've already got all the art for 24. So we're trying to figure out how to get that in. But again, this coronavirus thing, we're having this discussion right in the middle of that. And mm-hmm. there's just a hold on everything. So, I mean, I'm going to turn it in, and hopefully Greg's still working instead of hiding. But yeah, it's just, it's a hard book to schedule because you never know when it's coming. And it's like, all right, well, here there's an issue of Low. It's done. So you must have 3 free weeks in your schedule, right? And I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure that happens to some colorists or other people in comics, but I don't, generally speaking, have 3 solid empty weeks available at any given time. So it always tends to be a big juggling act how to fix it or how to fit it into the schedule.
Wow. So I guess you could say it'd be a relief when this is all over and you can move on to another big project.
It's hard to say that, though, because it's such a gratifying book. I mean, the way that Greg draws this, he's a painter, and he draws Low like he would do roughs for painting and leaves it super open. So it's very satisfying as a colorist to be able to go in and be like a full-on half of the art team. So he's drawing all of these outlines on things, and then I have to go in and create volume and hopefully help people understand what they're looking at, because Greg's really, really loose with what he draws. And it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
You get to basically draw half of the stuff. So I love that.
Okay, cool. Any other projects you could talk about or allowed to talk about at this point that are coming up?
Not really. I mean, Lucifer, you know, I mean, that's going. I'm taking a two-issue break on that. Actually, I'm taking a two-issue break on Lucifer because there's a guest artist coming in, so I can color Low.
Okay, there you go.
That's my answer to that problem. Yeah.
Okay, good. There you go.
And other than that, I just wrapped up Batman versus Superman, number 8 of which just released on Wednesday, the 25th, yesterday. Other than that, I've got this other project I've been working on for years now that will be done in a few more years, and that's going all systems go during this coronavirus crisis.
There you go.
Which I'm very, very grateful for, because long-term projects can weather many storms.
Sure.
And other than that, you know, just covers and things.
Cool. So beyond, like, for those wanting to get into doing this line of work and getting into comic book creation, other than making sure you've got good hardware and software, any other tips that you want to send along to them?
Well, if you're wanting to become a colorist in particular, like, is that?
Yeah. What would they need to do? So, what advice would you give to them?
My advice that I give to people who want to be a colorist, generally speaking, is that the job of a colorist is not what you think it is. The job of a colorist is to create volume through value and to create silhouettes. It's also to create mood. And color is a distant attachment to all of that stuff. Color is important in its own way because color can help you immediately identify good guys from bad guys or happy scenes from unhappy scenes and that sort of thing. But value is the absolute number one thing to focus on. So if you're going to be a colorist, you really need to learn how to draw, because you need to understand how forms are made, how volume is created, and you need to learn how to break silhouettes from foreground to background so that you can easily distinguish characters and scenes and see the depth inherent in that. So yeah, my note to people who want to learn to be a colorist is to think about color later. and think about the black and white part first.
Cool. Good advice, for sure. Well, Dave, those are all the questions I have. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to get across in this interview?
All right. So the last thing I would say about this is, we're in the middle of this coronavirus thing, and it's scary because people are not sure what's going to happen at the end of it. There's people who are worried about what's going to happen to comic stores and the direct market. And those are valid concerns. People are concerned about what's going to happen to bookstores. That's a valid concern. People in publishing are worried that people are going to assume digital distribution is the answer to this problem. And it currently isn't, because sales on digital distribution channels aren't really as good as people think they are. But that doesn't mean doom and gloom, because when people are upset and people are worried about things, they tend to turn to easy escapism, low-cost, easy escapism. And, you know, there are a few better things out there than comics for that sort of thing. There's video games now, and there's TV now. But comics are always going to be out there, and there's going to be ways to get them out there, whatever shape that might end up being in. So comics is going to be just fine. Comics it's scary right now, but comics are going to be fine in some form. And the creators of comics are going to be fine. And that's important to add too.
Thanks to Dave for the chat. Note that after our conversation, Dave sent along a note indicating that Adobe released a patch for Photoshop that fixed the endless crashing. It must have been completed just before the lockdown. So there you go. Now you can discover more about Dave on Twitter at Dave McCaig and online at dave-co.com. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts. And please leave a good rating. Also, check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website and follow along on Twitter at True North Comics. Please send your feedback to John at TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics. Copyright 2020.